Good morning. There was one other thing for just keeping in prayer. I talked to Evan as he was coming in this morning, and he said his mother is fine. She was able to move out ahead of the hurricane, and the building where the kids are, the school there, is fine. He said, but they lost their crops. And, you know, if you've seen any of the news, you know that there's a lot of devastation there in Haiti, and so you know, those are things for us to keep in our prayers, as well as those, you know, in the other areas that have been so greatly affected by Hurricane Matthew. So you can just keep that in your prayers. And I would just ask you to keep in your prayers, you know, somebody mentioned the blood drive, but we also have our health screening day coming up. The blood drive is on Friday. The health screening day is on Saturday. So if you have the opportunity to take part in either one of those, please feel free to do that. And if you have the opportunity to just share this information with somebody, there are more of both of these on the table underneath of the our missions map out in the foyer. And so if you know somebody that you think might take advantage of one or both of these, grab one of those and give it to them. Or if it would be you, grab one and take it home as a reminder to participate. Because what we do, things like that are opportunities for us to, one, do some good for ourselves, but also to serve our community in some ways. And if they succeed, that's good. If we do them and nobody shows up, then we're not doing what we're trying to do. So I would encourage you to invite people to those. Come yourself so that we can continue to do things like that. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 28 this morning, that's going to be our launching point this morning. How many of you have raised children? Somebody's laughing. I'm not sure if they said they had kids at their house and they didn't raise them, their kids raised you or what. But how many of you who raised children raised your children hoping that they would live in your basement all of their life? Any of you? Any of you have that hope for your children? You know, how many of you sent your children off to 1 year of school just hoping they would continue to repeat that same year of school over and over and over again? Or maybe that they would simply would attend those classes and never learn anything. You know, that's not the way we want things. And here's one thing I know, that one of the signs of maturation is when we can transfer the knowledge that we have obtained into action. When we can take the information that we have learned and we can put it into practice. And that's why we hope that at some point in time our children move from one grade to the next. We hope that our children grow up to a certain stage and they move out of the house and they begin to live on their own, is because that's a sign of maturation. Here's one more thing I know, that when we transfer knowledge into action, when we take the knowledge that we have received and we put it into action, we learn more and we become more mature. And it becomes a snowball process if we continue to live in that. So Jesus, for 3 years, Jesus had this plan. He started and he selected 12 men to join him in this apprenticeship plan. And for 3 years, these 12 men and Jesus walked from town to town. And as they walked, as they went, Jesus would take the opportunities along the way to instruct his apprentices. Lessons on how to live. Lessons on the power of God. Lessons on how to treat people who don't believe as you believe. Lessons on how to treat those who think they have God all figured out and really don't. Lessons on how to do life the way God intended for it to be lived.
And then Jesus prepared them to be released. He taught them the lessons. He gave them the knowledge. And then as they matured in that knowledge, He gave them the opportunity to put it into practice. And He prepared them to be released. And this morning, we're going to look at the instructions that Jesus gave to His disciples as He released them. And in that, the instructions that He left for us as His body here on earth. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 28. If you've got a Bible, if you've turned there, great. If you don't have a Bible, there's the ones in the pews in front of you or in the chair backs in front of you. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the very end of the age." At the very end of everything Jesus taught His disciples, at the end of 3 years of building into their life, He gives them this set of instructions. And this morning, here's the lesson that to grow, we must go. To grow, we must go. As we consider these words of Matthew, the first thing that we need to be reminded of is that go is an action verb. Go is an action verb. It's not passive. You can't go sitting where you're at. You can't go and stay in the same place. Go insinuates that there is movement that is taking place. Go is an action verb. But when Matthew uses it, it isn't just going. It isn't just that we are wandering around aimlessly that Matthew is talking about. No, as we read this passage of Scripture, and as we put it in its context within the teachings that Jesus gave, that Matthew highlights, what we find is that as we look at this, that it is an action verb that Matthew is intending, that Jesus has behind an action with intention. We are going someplace on purpose. There is an intention behind our going. And so Matthew says, go. Get up. Move. Go. He isn't just saying, if you happen to think about it as you're doing life, go. He's saying that you have to be intentional and you have to be thinking it through and you have to be going. It reminds me of what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. In Romans chapter 10, Paul writes these words to the church at Rome. "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." You see, Jesus is saying that we have to have this intention. We have to be going on purpose. We have to be thinking about who we can take the message of Jesus Christ to. Because there are people out there who do not know. There are people outside of these walls who have not heard the message of Jesus Christ. You know, we find it difficult to believe, but we live in a world today in the United States of America where there are people who have not heard the gospel message. If they've heard the name Jesus, more often than not, there's a major portion of our world who simply heard the name Jesus as a swear word, and not as the name of the Messiah who came to save the world from their sins. And we have to go with intention. We're not just going on our own, though, because Jesus makes this statement as He begins this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth, all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to Jesus. And so when we go with God's authority. When we take the gospel message, we're not going on our own strength, we're not going on our own accord, but we're going on the authority of the Creator of the universe. We're going in the authority of Jesus Christ, who came and shed His blood on the cross. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Jesus said, I have been given authority. And then when He says go, He says, now you have my authority. You have the power. You have the ability to go and to speak in my name. It doesn't mean we can say whatever we want, but it means that we take the gospel message. We take the message that Jesus Christ came and that He suffered and that He died and that He rose again on the third day and that He ascended into heaven. We take that message. We take the message Jesus says, I came to preach the kingdom. So we take the message of the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, to people. It has been given to us this authority to go. And again, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making His appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sins to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We have the authority to take the message of reconciliation. We have the message that says God loved us, and though the relationship was broken, God has done His part to bring the possibility of relationship back. Will you accept? We have the message, Paul says, and we have the responsibility of going with this message of reconciliation to the world and to reconcile people to God. And then he says that we are, some translations say entreat. Some translations say implore. You see, this isn't just walking up to somebody and saying, I want to introduce you to Jesus. This is coming up and this is saying, let me tell you about the good news of Jesus. Now, be reconciled to God. Please, please understand. Please be reconciled to God. It is seeking their favor. It is imploring. And while we can't force anybody into salvation, we're doing everything we can to push them in that direction. We are imploring them to come to salvation. And so Matthew says that we have to go. If we're going to grow, we have to go. But then he begins to define for us a little bit more about what he means that we go. And he says that we shall be that we're to go to all the nations. But I want to take another look at this. I want to consider what Luke writes in Acts chapter 1. Luke gives us a different view on Jesus' parting words. And Luke writes this. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." There are three attitudes. As I read this in Luke, as I consider the gospel of Luke, because Luke and Acts are really hand in hand. They're two parts of the same message that Luke wrote to this man Theophilus. He wrote two things and they really tie together, and you can't understand the book of Acts if you don't understand Luke. And as I think about what Luke is saying, what Jesus said as Jesus was departing from His disciples, as Luke records it, there are three attitudes that really come down to you and to me that we have to pay attention to as we are going, as we're taking the gospel message, as Matthew said, to all the nations. Luke says, first of all, that we're to have the attitude of a friend. The attitude of a friend. Jerusalem and Judea were friendly places to the 12 disciples. Well, actually, to the 11 that are present when Jesus gives this, because Judas is no more. But the other 11 are standing there, and Jesus says to them, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea. Now, that is friendly territory. That's people that you like in a neighborhood that you live in. That is people who look like you, who dress like you, who talk like you, who have some of the same interests and some of the same hobbies, who really are pretty friendly to you. There are people that you have the most influence in their lives. And Jesus said that we have to have this attitude of being a friend. We have to look at those people who are closest around us, because often that is where we will have the most impact for the kingdom of Christ. Unless, of course, we live where this is our friends, and these are the people that we associate with. If not, then we have those people who don't know Jesus. A.B. Kennedy wrote this. He says, "Though we may never reach every individual with the good news of Jesus Christ, with regard to those within our spheres of influence, we incur culpability if we fail to warn them concerning God's wrath." If we live next to somebody who does not know Jesus as more than a swear word, if we have never gone to our neighbor, he's saying that we will incur culpability. We become a part of their failure to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And we become guilty of that. The second attitude that we're supposed to have, the first one is our attitude towards our friends. The second one is those that we would call acquaintances. That we would call acquaintances. If we look at the outskirts of Judea and then we look into Samaria, Jesus says that there are two groups of acquaintances that we really have some sphere of influence on, maybe not as much, but we have some. And the first of those, if we look at Judea, those are the acquaintances that we have a positive relationship with. We don't really have a friendship with them. We're not really close to them, but we're on good terms with them. They know us, we know them, and we kind of see things eye to eye, but we really don't have these relationships that are going. You see, in Judea, as you would go out from Judea, when you lived in Jerusalem, right there in Jerusalem, everybody was the same. You got out to some of the outskirts of what was considered Judea in the days of Jesus, and not everybody was the same. But everybody was positive towards one another. And so there are those people around us who we really don't know, but we have some influence on, and they... Again, they're pretty much like us. But then Jesus flips the coin and he says, "Go to Samaria." And there are those people who are acquaintances, like those in Samaria. We know a lot about them. We know some things about them, but the relationships are kind of hostile. We have this agreement that we're just going to disagree. That's our agreement. We're going to disagree and we're not going to get along. And so because we're going to disagree and we're not going to get along, we're just not going to associate. Do you have people like that around you? People that maybe you deal with on a regular basis? Maybe sometimes these people even have moved into that area that we might consider our Jerusalem, those people that are closest to us, but they're really not people that we like. They're really not people that we get along with. They're really not people that we want to associate with. But Jesus said this. He says that you are to be my witnesses to them. You see, the Samaritans were the hated people of the north. The Samaritans claimed to be the remnants of the northern tribes of Judah. The people of Israel said, no, you're really not. You're really this mixed breed of people who maybe you can find some of your bloodline and lineage goes back to them, but more than that, you're just a, you're everybody that came in, everybody that lived here, you just kind of became part of that. And the Samaritans thought that they were worshiping God, but they were far from worshiping God. They had some of the teachings of the Old Testament, but many of them had become corrupted. And many of them were just, they had added their own things that were way off base, and the Samaritans really didn't fit there. But Jesus said, you know, these people deserve to know the gospel message the same. And they have to hear, and you will be my witnesses in Samaria. And then he really changes things, because then he says that you're to have a missionary attitude. You see, the three attitudes, you're supposed to be have the attitude of a friend, the attitude of acquaintance, but then you're to have a missionary attitude. Go therefore into all the nations, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, and to the ends of the earth. First Jerusalem, and then Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. We're supposed to have this attitude that's of a missionary. When we begin to look beyond what's close and beyond what's comfortable, and we begin to say, how can I affect the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can I take the message out? And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom proclaiming the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, that's the attitude that we have to have as a missionary. When we go not proclaiming things that we don't know, but we go just with the message of Jesus Christ and we find ways to make it fit the culture to which we are going. We have to take the message of Jesus Christ to all people. I like what Scobie wrote. He says, the spread of the gospel is anticipated in Luke. Unlike the other three gospels, Luke has no Galilean resurrection appearances. The disciples are told to stay in Jerusalem in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, because the divine plan is that repentance and forgiveness of sins are to be proclaimed in Christ's name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. In fact, Luke's gospel anticipates the threefold expansion of the early church mission as narrated in Acts. The mission of the 12 in Luke 9, 1 through 6 corresponds to the early chapters of Acts, where outreach is to Jews only. Three references to Samaritans in the central travel narrative of Luke 9:52 through 17:19 paved the way for the second stage Samaritan mission in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 25. While the sending out of the 70 or 72 though in part a look back to the elders appointed by Moses, also anticipates the third stage Gentile mission in the book of Acts. 70 or 72 numbers is the number of the Gentile nations in Genesis chapter 10. You see, Luke, as he writes his gospel, Luke, as he arranges and tells us the stories of Jesus' movement, moves us in this progression. We come from Galilee, we move along through Samaria, and we come to Jerusalem. And then Luke, trained in the Greek ways, acts very much like a Hebrew. And he takes this and he reverses it. So the main point isn't the travels. The main point is the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel. But once he proclaims that, then he takes us backwards and we move from Jerusalem through Samaria and to the Gentiles. And so we see this as Luke writes, and he says, "And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And this is the attitude. This is the all the nations that Matthew records in Matthew chapter 28. Luke says this is the progression. And as the time is right, we move from Jerusalem. The time becomes right, and the gospel moves to Samaria, and the gospel grows in Jerusalem and Samaria together, and then the time becomes right, and the gospel goes to all the nations. And finally, if we read what Luke writes, it ends in Rome, and so we see two religions, and the gospel is in between. We see the Jews, and we see the gospel, or the Rome, and the two religions, and the message of Christ is for both. The third thing that Matthew says, he says that we're to go, and then he says to all the nations, and then he says baptizing them. And this is one of the things that we're supposed to be doing as we take the gospel message, as people begin to respond to it. We are to be baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're to be showing that they have surrendered and that they are accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But we're not going to stop there this morning. We're going to come back to that in a few weeks. So we're just going to touch briefly on that. And now we're going to go to the fourth thing that Matthew says. Because as we go, if we're going to grow, we have to go. And part of that going is we have to teach. Matthew says, teaching them to observe, or teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And so now we go back. If we're going to understand Matthew's account of Jesus' last words, of Jesus' great commission to His disciples and to us, we have to go back and we look at everything from the beginning of Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 until Matthew chapter 28 verse 17, and we say this is what Matthew says that Jesus was teaching. These are the things that we are to teach all the people to observe, is the good news that Matthew recounts in his gospel message. And it begins teaching about Christ. It begins with the message that Jesus Christ came down from heaven, that He left the glory of heaven, and He came and He was born as a little baby, that He was laid in a manger, and that God protected Him from wicked King Herod, sent Him to Egypt, then called Him back. And we have the beginning of the message, and we preach Christ. We preach the gospel. And then we go through the teachings of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, and then we come to His last week in Jerusalem, and then we come to His crucifixion. And we have to tell people about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then we tell them about the burial, and we tell them about the resurrection. But we don't leave it at just the resurrection. Then we tell them about the interim between the resurrection and the ascension, when Jesus goes to be coronated as the King of this great kingdom. And we tell people about Jesus Christ. And we have to inform them and we have to let them know these things. I like the way that John says it. John chapter 15 says this, beginning with the 26th verse. Jesus says, When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me. and you will testify also because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is looking at his disciples, and this is Jesus or John's version of the commission. He says, you will testify about what you have seen and what you have heard. We don't tell people things that we don't know. We testify about what we have learned. As we study the gospel of Jesus Christ, we tell people about what we have learned. And our message, Jesus says, is to be about Him. Our primary message is about Jesus Christ. I go back to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. We looked at it once, but it doesn't hurt to look at it again. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The great apostle Paul says, "I came to you, O church at Corinth, I came to you, and I decided ahead of time that I would know nothing but Jesus Christ. That is my message, Jesus Christ. You want to know my platform, it's Jesus Christ. You want to know my hope, it's Jesus Christ. You want to know the power for life? It's Jesus Christ." We teach people, Jesus, or Matthew says that we're to teach, and the first thing that we teach is we teach people about Jesus Christ. And then we move to His teachings. We go to Acts chapter 1, and Luke says, "And you shall be my witnesses." And I said, you have to understand the book of Luke to understand the book of Acts. When you put Luke together, Luke gives us, in the book of Luke, he gives us an account of Jesus' departure as well. And in Acts, or in Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 48, this is what we read. "Now he," that is Jesus, "said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all these things are written about me in the law and in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, the Christ who would suffer and rise again from the dead, the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." You see, in Acts, he says, "You shall be my witnesses." But as we read what he writes at the end of the book of Luke, we understand his definition of what we are to be witnesses of. We're to be witnesses that Jesus taught, the things that Jesus taught while he was on this earth about himself, the things that were written in the law of Moses, the things that were written in the prophets, the things that were written in the Psalms. Basically, he's saying the things that are written in our scriptures. In the Old Testament of our Bible today was the scriptures of Jesus. And Jesus has just used the threefold identity to say, these are the things that you are to teach. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms, or the writings. And he says, I taught you how I fulfilled the promises in there. He said, and I taught you how to live by the law, I taught you how to do these things, and you are to testify, you are to witness to these things. Michael Goheen says this. He says, it is clear that the closely related themes of salvation, repentance, and forgiveness are central to Luke's gospel. Luke uses the word salvation 12 times in Luke Acts, compared to no occurrences in Matthew and Mark and only one in John. Further, among the synoptics, only Luke calls Jesus Savior. Similarly, the terms repentance, two Greek words that are used for repentance, the terms for repentance appear regularly throughout Luke and are often linked to the word sinner and forgiveness. Examples of repentance and forgiveness are found throughout Luke's gospel, including Zacchaeus, the prodigal son, and the thief on the cross. The message the church is to carry to all the nations is repentance and forgiveness of sins. Jesus says, this is the message. It is repentance and forgiveness of sins. It is the hope of life that comes. And His teachings, we look at Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 28. We look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We look at Matthew chapter 28. And one of the things that we see, it's open to all the nations. It's open to all people. No matter what language they speak, no matter where they live, no matter if they have heard the message before or not, that we are to be taking the teachings of Jesus Christ and teaching that it's open to all nations. This wasn't a new concept at the end of Jesus' life. Jesus says, I taught you these things from the beginning. And in fact, I take you back to the Old Testament and I'll show you where they came from. That this wasn't even a new message with Jesus. He says it goes back to the Old Testament that the gospel was to go to all the nations. And finally, Matthew says that we're to teach them to obey. We're to teach them to obey His commandments. We're to teach them to live the message that Jesus called us to live. A message that can most fully be summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. For upon these hang all of the law and the prophets. You see, we're to take the message and we're to teach people to love one another. But it means that we have to go. We're called to go. If we're going to grow, if we're going to do what we are called to do as a body of believers, if we're going to do what we are called to do as individual followers of Christ, we must go. One of the signs of maturity in a follower of Christ is that they are going. You see, we can come to church and we can attend church for years and years and years and never grow mature. One of the sure signs of maturity in a follower of Christ is the two-letter word, go. Going on purpose. Going on purpose to people that need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Going on purpose to them to share the message of Jesus Christ. Going on purpose to them to share the message of Jesus Christ in such a way that they can understand it. Going on purpose in such a way, sharing the message so people can understand it, so that they can come to the point of salvation, of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's Christian maturity. You see, our job as disciples is to make disciples. Jesus spent 3 years with 12 men teaching them everything they needed to go, or everything they needed to know. And then He gave them an instruction. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Go and do what you've seen Me do. They were His apprentices and He trained them for 3 years. He grew them in knowledge. He helped them grow in wisdom and understanding. And then one day He said, now it's time for you to go. And He released them to serve. And if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we must go. We must go to our neighbors. We must go to those who are far from us. We must take the gospel message to a lost and dying world. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've heard the message. You've heard the good news that Jesus came to die for your sins. And if you aren't a follower of Christ, I'd love to visit with you about what it means to live with Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning. And if you are a follower of Christ and you just simply need somebody to encourage you, somebody to strengthen you this morning, we'd love to do that. If you need somebody to pray for you, we can do that as well. If you need that, won't you just meet me down front this morning or catch me outside when we're done. Let's stand together as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning.